We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Hello and welcome back to another episode of the House of Hoosier podcast brought to you by the Field of 68 alongside my co-host Ben Howler. I am Austin Platt. We have a special guest today as Indiana prepares to take on Auburn this weekend in Atlanta. It is Hoosier alum and now reporter for AL.com out there in Alabama, Matt Cohen, ladies and gentlemen. Matt, how you doing? Welcome to the show and good to see another Hoosier here on the House of Hoosier podcast.
Thanks for having me on the show, guys. It feels a little weird to be talking about Indiana from the other side of the game for the first time in my life.
It's you are quite literally in the arena right now. It's not going to be the one where Indiana and Auburn play this week. They'll be down at the State Farm Arena in Atlanta, but it is very fitting to see you at a basketball arena after talk to the media. I guess first off, before we preview the game, how much IU basketball have you been able to watch? I know you got a whole other team in your Tigers to look for, but I assume as a Hoosier alum that the fandom has not gone away, I hope.
Yeah, I've watched every game, and I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing, at least with how things have gone so far. I guess I didn't get to watch all some of like the Army games or Harvard or stuff like that, but like trying to pay attention as much as I can, which is helpful right now because I sound like I know what I'm talking about in front of Bruce for the first time. No, I'm kidding, but it's been really good to kind of get a sense of a very different look team compared to some prior Hoosier teams, although, well, they haven't really shot the three well in years. But it's been really impressive to watch, especially just the interior play of this team. I don't think it's like to go from Trayce Jackson Davis and then not have interior play be an issue after the fact is really impressive for some of the transfer portal recruiting job that they did.
Matt, when we go into this game, before we talk about like specifics, basketball play, I wanted to ask, I probably could have done a little more research on this. What do you think the atmosphere is going to be like? I know Atlanta is not far from Auburn. It's a neutral site, but definitely closer to Auburn and going to have more Auburn fans. Are the students on break in even in football season now? Do you expect the atmosphere to be any different?
Honestly, from what I've heard of like Indiana people coming down, I could see it being pretty much 50-50. And I say that just because obviously like this is a football school and you notice it like even today at the press conference, like, you know, the general beat reporters were there, but it was a little smaller crowd than normal because high school state championships are going on in a Tuscaloosa today. So there's like that stuff like that. Like this is a football state. Now that said, Auburn has significantly, improved.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring podcasts on the Blue Wire Network. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System yet, then you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. Wherever you are across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's Unified, UNIFYD, healing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
It was pretty much full in here, and it was really loud in here. I mean, you can maybe see, like, it's graduation set up in here right now. Students, as you mentioned, are leaving after this week. Finals are wrapping up in a couple days. So I think it'll be a number of fans will go up because it's 90 minutes. It's not that far away. But I also think there's going to be a lot of Indiana fans there because it's just whereas Auburn is learning how to be a basketball school with basketball success, Indiana's been doing that for decades. And this fan base travels better than anyone for basketball.
Indiana, didn't get off to the best start out of their season. Looked you're probably better that you weren't able to watch, the entirety of the Army game or maybe Harvard as well. But I guess for you, what did you see Tuesday that impressed you? A huge win over Michigan, starting 2-0 in conference play for the first time since I believe 2018, which dates definitely both of our times, Ben and I, here at IU. But what did you see on that side, and what impressed you about Tuesday's win?
I think not only that, but also they're now have won two straight in Ann Arbor for the first time in, I think, like 15, 20 years. And that when I looked it up, was one, kind of surprised me, but also two, like, just impressive to see what they've been able to do. And obviously, this is not the best Michigan team they've had in the last decade or so. But to win in Ann Arbor is always a challenge, even on a day where it didn't look particularly full in there. But I think I was mostly impressed, I think, I guess the best way to describe that was kind of with the support that Khalil Ware got. Like, I felt like Blake Renew kind of as a whole had a pretty good game. Like, when Indiana can get the ball in the post, it's got some really talented players down there. They're going to pick up fouls. They're going to get to the free throw line. And the scoring numbers aren't going to be huge, but they never were going to be. This is a defensive-minded team. But to see that they have multiple options in the post is really impressive because Khalil Ware is obviously the number one guy. It's the one that Auburn's mostly focused on right now. But, Renew's played well. If Mbako can produce too, there are guys to pay attention to. On the flip side of that, I was really disappointed with the guard play, and especially Trey Galloway. I think the guards combined to score 5 points in the first half. That's just not going to get it done. They are a bad three-point shooting team, and they know it, so they don't take a ton of threes, which I think is at least helpful in that regard. But what's really notable to me is beyond the post play being really good, is just a complete lack of production, basically, other than CJ Gunn out of the guards. Well, it's actually also to that point, CJ Gunn was incredible the other night. That'd be fair to say his best college game ever to this point. I think that's probably pretty unquestioned. If you can get that out of him consistently, he may work his way up into a starting lineup spot, given the way that Trey Galloway's played recently, and with X being hurt too. So I'm kind of interested to see if he can maintain some consistency on that front, because that was really impressive.
We were talking about Indiana last few games. I want to talk a little bit about Auburn. Start to the year, I mean, it was not too bad. Did a close game with Baylor, a very good offensive team. That was a high-scoring game. After that, though, earlier this week, that loss to App State at App State, I believe. What kind of happened to that game?
Auburn had a ton of open shots from three, and they just didn't make them. Auburn, I think, was 3 of 27 on threes in that game, and then on the flip side, allowed App State to shoot 47%. Like, those two things are not going to win you many basketball games when they're side by side. And Auburn's not really concerned about that because they had open shots, and it's much easier to fix, you know, missing open shots than it is to fix not getting open shots at all. This is a good three-point shooting team, and they're going to turn that around. They have shot the ball very badly from three the last two games, and it's led to, you know, a game that Auburn probably, you know, won against Virginia Tech, but the score wasn't really super indicative of what the game actually was. And the App State game, which Auburn lost because it just shot the ball so poorly. I think Auburn, you know, Auburn, you don't see a lot of teams go to play a true road game at a mid-major. And Auburn did that with the sense of, you know, it's a hostile crowd, but a team it should beat because it's going to go into SEC play. Auburn's SEC opener is at Arkansas. And that's a really tough crowd to go into right away. And if not for App State, that would have been the first true road game. So you're getting a sense of what a road crowd looks like. And actually, I wonder if losing is almost better for Auburn because you get kind of, you know, a kick in the butt before going into Auburn. And then they play USC in 2 weeks. So you get some of these tough non-conference games coming up. And you now have a sense of what it's like to be tested on the road. Yes, you still should beat App State. Like, that's not, like, I mean, yes, technically, based on the net right now, that's a quad one loss. I don't think it's going to stay as a quad one loss. But you should win that game. But it was, at least they got a sense of playing on the road. So it was helpful to some regard, but you didn't really reap the reward of learning how to play on the road because you lost, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. The kind of the conversation with Mike Woodson's always been, oh, you know, sometimes he hasn't actually put on the schedule himself these tough non-conference true road games, because a few years ago Syracuse was the only one, and that's obviously ACC, yeah. Big Ten, something you don't schedule. Last year Kansas, the home and home, so he scheduled that one. This year there's that game doesn't exist again. You don't have that true non-conference road game. This is going to be the closest one to it, I guess, in terms of distance. Granted, the UConn game, playing at what they call Stores South at Madison Square Garden, it was a tough environment, and that reflected in the score. But I guess for you, are you kind of worried at all in Indiana's sense? Is kind of a letdown game incoming here with the way they played and the way they kind of grinded out a win against Michigan? Are you kind of thinking the same end, a disappointing loss? Auburn can rebound. Do you feel that kind of signs are pointing here to an Auburn victory?
So I would think, at least if you base this off like KenPom ratings, Auburn is definitely the better team analytically between these two. But it's a really weird matchup because it's two very contrasting styles. Auburn is, you know, they're not small, but it's definitely not the biggest team Indiana's going to see all season. I mean, Indiana's got a huge height advantage here. The flip side being, Auburn's going to play a lot faster. They're going to have a lot more three-point shots go up, play at a higher tempo, have a lot more, like, you know, free-flowing offense, so to speak, play more five out than Indiana. I mean, Indiana will not play five out, and Auburn wants to play five out. So you get two very contrasting styles to that point, and I'm really interested to see how that's going to work, because on one hand, I don't really know how because Auburn's best player still is Jahni Broome. It's post player, and they're going to play him five out because he can shoot. But I also don't know how Auburn's going to get the ball inside when it has the size disadvantage. On the flip side, I'm not sure how anyone else other than, you know, Khalil Ware and Blake Renew are going to score against, you know, some guards that play really like aggressive, opportunistic defense against Indiana guards that just have not shown much potential to score. I think you're going to see a lot of Auburn kind of play some zone defense to force Indiana to shoot, as well as probably double maybe with the wings off Khalil Ware and Renew, just because I don't think Auburn's particularly concerned about the guards just leaving a guard out, you know, open to shoot. And based on the stats, I don't see why you would be concerned about that to this point until, you know, Indiana proves it can make that shot. So I think you get that coming into it. That's the matchup I'm looking at the most in terms of like the vibe going into it. Indiana definitely comes in with more momentum off that win in Ann Arbor, whereas Auburn's kind of picking up the pieces from App State. I think this is very much a case of they've like thrown that film in the toilet and never want to see it ever again. Cause again, like they played pretty good defense in that game. They just missed a lot of open shots and of ways to lose games. Like that's one of the most fixable ways to, you know, going forward. But kind of on the other end of that is I've watched enough Indiana games in NBA arenas. I feel like there's like this whole, whenever they walk into a building like that, they just forget how to play basketball. And like throughout my, like whenever they played in the Crossroads Classic, they could not like do anything on offense consistently. And I don't know why, but just in the Big Ten tournament too, it felt that way, especially under Archie. This is a different team, obviously, so I don't want to go that far, but I would like to see how, you know, Indiana handles that strip, playing in another NBA arena, playing, and will probably be, you know, maybe probably a 50-50 crowd, just given kind of the balance of Indiana fans with more traveling, but are with a shorter trip. If Indiana can come in there and compete with Auburn, I think they could, you know, this I see as a total toss-up game. It could go really either way because of how much the styles contrast. So I think for either team, this is a, you know, a potentially pretty big resume win, and I get the vibe that they're both treating it as such.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
You talked about the contrast in styles that Auburn and Indiana have, and I want to talk about Indiana offensively first. Obviously, they play a lot through the post. Jahni Broome, I think, is the biggest guy height-wise they have in the starting lineup. Jalen Williams in there, too. How do you think Auburn's – what do you think the strategy Auburn's going to have to kind of stop Indiana's post play?
So I think I'm really interested to see who they're going to put on Khalil Ware, because Jahni Broome has more height, but I would probably say Jalen Williams might be the better, like, on-ball defender. Broome's kind of more of a rim protector than Jalen Williams is going to be more of kind of an up-in-your-face physical defender. So I think I could potentially see a scenario where it's Jalen Williams put on Ware, even though he's shorter than Jahni Broome. And at that point, you're basically going to have to double him. And I think the best way they could, and this is my opinion here, but I think the best way they could do that is bring one of the wings like Chris Moore, Chad Baker, Mazzara, Cheney Johnson, kind of and double team him that way with size, because while Auburn does have some pesky guards that could kind of make some fits, they just don't have the size to like, what good are you doing putting a 6'1" guard on Khalil Ware? It's not going to do anything. It's going to just pick up fouls on your guard that you cannot get in foul trouble, because Indiana draws a lot of fouls and Auburn commits a lot of fouls. So that's just a bad situation to begin with. So I think doubling is probably their best way of doing it, or playing a zone. But I think, I mean, Auburn prefers to play man-to-man defense, and they did have their best stretch of defense against App State when they played a zone. But I think they would rather play man-to-man if they can. Zone just makes sense against Indiana because it's not a good three-point shooting team. And that makes doubling in the post a little bit easier, potentially. So I'm not sure exactly how they're going to do that, but that's kind of the best impression I've gotten. Now, can they actually execute that? Because, again, they're at a size disadvantage. I think that's going to be kind of what could determine this matchup, because if Khalil Ware, Malik Renu can get whatever they want, Indiana's going to win this game. If Auburn can, you know, make them have some problems and force the guards to contribute, that plays right into Auburn's hands. So I think that's really is the key mashup of this game.
We've seen, in the past, Indiana put together a zone pretty quickly against Louisville in that game at MSG. It worked pretty well, and Kenny Payne admitted that it caught him off guard. I would assume Auburn would have to put a bit more thought into their zone. Defensively, you mentioned five out. In years past with Mike Woodson last year, Indiana really struggled against five out. Iowa, Penn State, the two teams that did that, and Indiana, you know, seemingly didn't have an answer for that. So I guess for Indiana defensively, how do you try to attack five out? Khalil Ware obviously can stretch the floor. Renu not as much, but how do you see Auburn trying to attack Indiana when they have the ball, knowing if they want to try and stretch the floor a little bit?
So I think one thing that makes Auburn's offense really dynamic is that one, it's deep, and two, it has a very high assist rate. I think Auburn's like top 20 in the country in terms of assists per game. That's going to matter because they can move the ball really well against Indiana's defense. The flip side being is despite having a really good assist rate, I mean, they've been, you know, kind of ebbs and flows with it, but the turnovers have occasionally been a problem for Auburn, especially against App State. They were a big problem. And when you see Auburn having, you know, turnovers that assist, they're not going to do a lot on offense because they so much rely on ball movement and being deep. They truly have a 10-man rotation in most games. They have 8 to 9 people scoring, if not all 10. So I think that's kind of what makes them really, really, really unique. It's like the bench can contribute just as much as the starters do. Every option can score. Every option can be a threat for Indiana defense playing five out, especially with an Indiana team that just from what I've seen has not defended the three-pointer particularly well. And Auburn was already getting open shots against App State. You get this again, if Auburn can actually execute the shots, that's going to be potentially that is the only way I think this game ends in a blowout, just because of the contrasting styles, is that if Auburn hits open shots and gets going like that, I just don't think Indiana has the scoring to keep up with that. Auburn's pretty consistently scoring up in the 80-point range, and I just don't know if Indiana can get there. For Indiana to win, the game's got to be played more in the 60s and 70s than the 80s. So I think that's kind of the way Auburn's going to look at this, is try to just maintain its own tempo, play fast, play through the guards, try to feed the ball into Jahni Broome when they can. Obviously, that's, you know, he's still the focal point. He is the leading scorer. He is the best player. But you really need to see more out of Aiden Holloway, who's the five-star freshman on this team, probably the best, at least in my opinion, is the best shooter. He's been in a slump the past two games. I think he's made like two shots from the field over the last two games. He's looked like a freshman for the first time since he's really been here. If he can step up on, you know, the bigger stage in the NBA arena like he'll play in the future, Auburn might, you know, have a really good day offensively because they're going to be able to shoot it over Indiana's defense and avoid dealing with the seven-footers at all. That's kind of at least what I would say is the strategy here. Play fast, play with the guards, and just hit open shots when they're there.
You kind of brought me into my next question. You talk about that being Auburn's kind of strategy, but I wanted to get your prediction. Indiana came into the season, and everyone expects them to be more of a defensive-minded team. At least a couple games as of late, they've been able to score the ball pretty well, and they have given up more than people would expect. Auburn seems like kind of the opposite. They've been all offense. They've been expected to be offense. Do you expect it to be a higher scoring game?
I think that's what Auburn wants. And I say, which has actually been fascinating because Auburn came into this year, and like you're correct, the talk was Auburn's offense was going to be able to carry this team. And the offense has been really good. But what's been really surprising is when you go on KenPom, Auburn's got the 15th rated defensive efficiency in the country. And that like feels like the quietest thing that they've had all season because, and yes, some of it is they allowed, you know, 50 some points to. No, the police canine dog is doing training in here. That's the barking you hear. to see this defense, you know, play really well, especially, you know, they play well against App State. The only reason Auburn had a chance to win that game was because of its defense. If you can see that, and I think, you know, it's because Auburn has, you know, played a lot better on its rotations. Its zone was really good against App State. Its guards were playing really, really, really well defensively, and they can play really well defensively. Indiana's guards could potentially be shut out entirely by Auburn's guards. I don't know if that will happen, but it's a possibility. So it's been interesting seeing that go from like this expected good offensive team, but it's the defense that's been better the last two games for Auburn. I don't know if that's going to happen again because Indiana is the best team Auburn's played since Baylor. So you're going to see that defense tested for the first time. And it's a matchup that does not really favor them particularly well in terms of the size. So I would say this is going to be a game that's going to be probably played in the 70s, maybe the 80s. That's at least what Auburn wants. I think Indiana would be happy with a game in the 60s because it's just a little bit slower. And I really think kind of what, like, if it's a lower scoring game, Indiana's going to win. If it's a higher scoring game, I think Auburn's going to win. It's really the way that I'm looking at it.
I guess a few more for me. How much do you value the non-conference games? Obviously, the challenge at the beginning of the year with Baylor, kind of what on your scale, 1 to 10, 1 meaning you throw it out, doesn't matter, 10 being, you know, you got to treat it like every other game. Kind of where do you stand now reporting for Auburn and seeing them through their first handful of games?
Yeah, I mean, I think for this team, it matters more so for it comes Selection Sunday. Auburn's not going to go into Selection Sunday with a bad loss because they just didn't play many bad teams. I mean, if App State ends up being the worst loss comes Selection Sunday, I think you're not that bad off. I think at worst that's going to be a quad two loss. So you get that because I feel like in this day and age, and I don't love this personally, but I feel like in this day and age, you're better off with no bad losses than you are with a bunch of good wins or just a bunch of wins. Like, you know, Indiana may rattle off a bunch of these non-conference wins, but they kind of didn't play anyone other than Auburn and Kansas and really at UConn. So like they are, you know, those are better games than Indiana's had in prior years in the non-conference. But like that's probably hurt them when their strength of schedule was really bad. Auburn's strength of schedule isn't, you know, the toughest of the tough. There are teams playing harder non-conference schedules, but at least prepares them for the SEC and it prepares them for, you know, for Selection Sunday, because you're not going to have you're going to have an upper half strength of schedule between SEC play, but between some of these, you know, good mid-major programs. Like Auburn's next game after Indiana is UNC Asheville, which is a potential tournament team. So, you know, you're looking kind of stackpiling these really good mid-major wins, which I think is actually really good for your team because you're not playing like, you know, crappy programs. You're playing actual mid-majors. So I would say I value it pretty highly just because of the fact that it will help you come Selection Sunday, even if you lose a couple of games.
All right, Matt, we got time for one more question. We ask every guest before a game preview, and I don't think any of our guests have gotten anywhere close so far this year. But got to ask your score prediction for Saturday.
Score prediction for Saturday. So because I was talking about it being played in the 60s for the 80s, I'll put a prediction in the 70s, put it right in the middle. So I guess, I really see this as such a toss-up game. Like I think Auburn has enough shooting that it should be able to, you know, outscore Indiana. And if it is a game where Auburn's outscoring Indiana, like Auburn's going to win a game when it comes down to that. I just don't think Indiana has shown me enough out of its guard play to be able to handle Auburn's kind of more balanced roster. So I guess I would go based on all that with probably Auburn winning a close one, like 75-71. I don't see this being a blowout of any kind. But I think Auburn on paper is the better, like analytically, Auburn is the better team. As long as it can play to its own style, it should win this game. But if Indiana can play at much like the slower physical pace, Auburn doesn't really have the physicality to match up with Indiana.
Well, I think I speak for everyone that maybe the Auburn fans reading your articles would want an Auburn win, but I think for the rest of us and for the Hoosier fans that have followed you, maybe you can have a bit more fun with an Indiana. Matt Cohen, thank you for your time. Excited to see you this weekend down in Atlanta. And, you know, hey, I think, guess for you, this is kind of a win-win or a lose-lose. At least you get someone. It's not just your normal game to cover. At least you get your alma mater and the team you're covering.
Right. Like, if Indiana wins, I get to be happy about it. And if Auburn wins, my readers get to be happy about it. So everyone wins.
Well, at least for Ben and I think we can say we definitely have a horse in the race, and not two of them. So for Ben Holler and our distinguished guest, Matt Cohen, I'm Austin Platt, signing off here on the House Hoosier podcast. We'll be back next week for a recap of this game, and we'll preview the Kansas game as well as the Jayhawks will come to town. But for now, we are signing off here on the House Hoosier podcast. We'll talk to you next time.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.